With WMUK News, I'm Gordon Evans. Michigan's $100 billion a year food and agriculture industry faces a crossroads. For decades, the system was steady. Farmers grew crops. Hispanic workers from Texas, Florida, and Mexico migrated here every summer to pick and harvest, then left before the first frost. Over the past 15 years, though, new programs and support for migrants mean many workers aren't staying in that system. In the first part of our series, WMUK's Robbie Feinberg reports on just where many of those workers are going.
Nearly every weeknight during the summer, an outreach team from the Intercare Community Health Network in Bangor packs up their van, drives to a tiny camp in the middle of the woods of western Michigan, and sets up a makeshift medical station for migrant farm workers. Standing in front of Intercare's giant mobile outreach van is Angela Sanchez. The crew here jokes that Angela and her parents are kind of like the first family of Intercare. Angela's mom, Alicia, is Intercare's outreach coordinator for the region. Her dad, Carlos, buses workers back and forth to health appointments. And Angela works inside the dental van, registering patients and taking notes. She knows these fields well.
I've been out in the field since 12 years old picking blueberries. That's all we would do during the summertime.
Sanchez never liked it, though.
I sucked, okay? I was out here picking every single day, just mad because I didn't want to be here.
The toughest part, Sanchez says, was education. She liked school, always studied, but the constant back and forth from Michigan to Texas left her constantly behind. Sometimes she felt like it wasn't worth it.
We would stay here till probably October, so by the time we left back to Texas, we were always behind on school. Because what they teach here is not what they usually teach in Texas. So it's pointless to go to school here, but we still had to go. Because my dad's like, if you don't want to be doing this forever, you better do good in school and stay in school.
Angela followed her dad's advice. She stayed in school. She spent mornings in the fields picking blueberries. Days were 14, 15 hours long. But by the end, she got into college, the first in her family. And she graduated.
I had my whole family there. I had all my dad's family, my mom's family there, and I was the first one to graduate. From there on, it was cousins, and then my brother followed from there, my sister, my younger sister, and then my three siblings from before me were graduated after that.
Go to school. Get into college. It's a common refrain for most parents, but for farm workers, the message is new. It's part of a generational shift. For decades, the story was the same for most of Michigan's farm workers. Live in Texas or Florida, head up to Michigan to pick for a few months, make some money, and head back down. Children continued the family tradition. The cycle went on for decades. Until today, that is. In 2000, only 3% of migrant farm workers had even a little college education. 10 years later, that number has more than tripled. That means many are leaving the fields behind.
Hola, ¿cómo está?
A few miles away, I meet a worker named Sergio. He lives in a trailer near a migrant camp with his two young daughters. Sergio's a single dad. He says he lost his wife to a brain tumor a few years ago. His mom is here to help for a few months this summer, but most days it's just him getting his kids to school while still making enough money to support them. He only speaks Spanish, but a few outreach workers translate for me.
It's all for them. You know, so he sacrifices what he needs to sacrifice.
It's hard for him to do everything, but he does it because for the girls.
Sergio's biggest goal, though, isn't to leave the trailer or get a raise. He says he wants enough money so his kids can pursue what they want.
He doesn't want them to end up working in the camps, just like he did. What he sees for them is for them to finish school. Education is a priority. To finish school, the oldest one, she's 8 right now, so within 10 years she'll be 18. She'll be graduating high school. For her, he sees her bettering herself, not working no camps, doing better than what he did. That's the reason why he works hard right now for them.
Hey, man, what you doing?
So how do you make the jump from farm worker camp to university dorm room? Probably with the help of someone like Gustavo Echevarria. He drives across the state, from labor camp to labor camp, finding students to join Western Michigan University's College Assistance Migrant Program, or CAMP. It's a nationwide program at more than 40 universities. Western's, though, is relatively new in its fourth year. And it's small, only accepting around 40 students annually. The goal is to get children out of these camps and into school. Echevarria knows making the jump to college is tough from experience. He was a farm worker too.
And it's such a shame because, you know, I wasn't the smartest cookie, you know, but I got admitted, okay? And there, I believe there's a lot of people that are like that right now.
This right here is a camp application. You can start filling it out. If you're finished with it, I can take it today.
Guiding, hand-holding. For Echevarria, that's a huge part of his job. Explaining scholarships and loans, showing how to file a FAFSA, even just sorting through a college application.
At home, I only speak Spanish.
Right, I
understand.
Yeah.
And my friends,
of course, that's natural. But I just want to make sure that you understand that at the university, it's going to be a little bit different. You will have friends you can talk to in Spanish, but we need to make sure that you're able to communicate.
Adriana Cardoso-Reyes is the director of Western's camp program. And like nearly everyone on staff, she's a former migrant herself. She was in the exact same position as her students around 10 years ago, and she still remembers just how clueless she was.
And so I remember that when we were thinking back in that process, I think I wanted to apply to like Adrian College because it had the Adrian in the name, you know, like yeah. Adrian. I was like, well, that'd be kind of cool to go to Adrian College, you know, but it just shows a lack of information.
But Echevarria and Cardoso-Reyes have emerged from the process as college graduates, and they say because they were migrants, it makes the job a little easier.
Oftentimes, I do refer back to the struggles that my mom and I and my siblings faced, you know, and that's how I tell them, like, I know what you're going through. I literally went through exactly the same thing that you're going through, but the difference between you and me is that now I'm here to help you.
Camp is just the latest in a long line of services available to young migrants now. There's also the Telemon program, which keeps kids learning even as their parents are in the fields. There's the HEP program to help workers get their high school diplomas. And camp has already made a difference on Western's campus. Staff say the retention rate for camp students at Western is more than 90%. Add it all up and things are changing. However, the achievement gap for farm workers' children is still huge. 90% nationwide still aren't reaching college. Cardoso-Reyes says there's work to be done, but with her program at least, she sees the benefits.
The ability to buy a vehicle that, you know, you don't got to worry about breaking down, or the ability to travel for your job, or not worry about how you're going to pay the bill next month, you know, things like that. So I think financially, they've definitely seen the results of it. I mean, there's a lot of issues that, you know, we face, but I think there's always that hope. And I think that's kind of where we go with our students. Like, you have to be educated, whether that's here or in Mexico or another country you go back to. They can't take this from you.
Nearly everyone agrees that the change is good. However, there's a flip side. Fewer workers in the fields means less help for the farmers who've relied on them for decades. So what does that mean for the agricultural industry as a whole? We'll explore that question tomorrow in the next part of our series. For WMUK, I'm Robbie Feinberg.